So today we look at Psalms 55:22. We'll get to there. But if we're looking at a title, God will sustain you. We find much encouragement in his word for that. And I can look and I can pretty well tell everybody in this room, although there's few of us, but you need to be sustained by a power greater than yourself. That you need to be sustained by more than what the world can help you with. Because we know the things of this world are temporal and they're passing and they don't fulfill really what they really tell you that they will do. But God will sustain us. We go through this life with the events of life happening. Nothing is new about this. We've had life happening since the foundation of time. For man or woman of God, we will walk this life out. And for those of us, of children of God, we walk it out with his help. Amen. We find help in our present time from him. And he sustains us. So in Psalms 55:22, cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved or the righteous to be shaken. Many of us here at one time or another have been shaken. You know, talks about, you hear that thing, boy, I've been shaken to my core. Has anybody ever heard that terminology? Well, that means something happened so much and so serious or monumental in your life, in a situation, that you say, I've been shaken to my core. Kind of brought you back to reality sometimes, possibly. But as we look at this, we need to, number one, cast your burden on the Lord. For he will never permit the righteous to be moved. He will sustain you. Sustaining is to give support or relief to supply with sustenance or nourishment, to bear up under something. He will sustain you. In this life, we need support. In this life, we need relief of things happening in this life. We need to be nourished. Hallelujah. We need to have someone help us bear up. We would pray that as far as in a prayer, maybe to somebody that's going through a situation. Lord, I just pray that you will undergird them with your power. What is that undergird? You know, it's to lift up. It's to be that support under them, to hold them up. We can look at this in the Bible's context of the sustain is to maintain, to nourish, to provide food, to bear, hold up, protect, support, defend, to supply the means necessary for living. Today, you need to be sustained by God, so that you are nourished and you are supported and you are supplied with the very means necessary for living. Now, we can look at this and it might be talking about food, you know, substance, being able to sustain us physically, and we need food and water, of course, to live. But there's other things that he sustains us in, the areas of protecting us and supporting us and defending us. Amen? You know, if God be for you, who can be against you? We go through this life and we go through these times even today, and it will always be like this, that we're going to need a defender. We're going to need someone bigger than our problem. We're going to need someone bigger than me. Amen. Bigger than you. And that someone is who? God. God, through that of Jesus, came to this earth and died for our sins. He left so the Holy Spirit can come and join us and come and fill us, and we feel that internal strength. Does anybody feel at times when you're going through a problem or a situation or a stress situation, like a stress fracture or something like that, a stress time going on, that all of a sudden by prayer and by coming to God, that he will build you up. He will hold you. He will undergird you. He will support you. He will defend you. He will be there for you to lean on, to cast that anxiety over there. Now, we find in Proverbs, really quick, this just came to mind today or last night as I was kind of looking through some of this. But in Proverbs, it talks about David. David was a man that, you know, battles taking place. And this was coming here that, you know, there's people out there to try to take him down. But in Proverbs, it talks about here, well, not in Proverbs, that's I got ahead of myself. Psalms 55 or 5 and 3, we're going to go back to. This is not David. This is Solomon talking here. Scratch that. We'll go back to David. But this is Solomon talking in Proverbs, where it says here, the spirit of a man will sustain him in sickness. The spirit of a man will sustain him in sickness, but who can bear a broken spirit? A broken spirit is one's personhood which has been crushed by life's difficulties. A broken spirit. We have people in our churches that have a broken spirit. We have people outside the church that they have a broken spirit. That you look at that, it's being crushed by life's difficulties. It's often accompanied by depression. Healing such wounded personalities as a part of Jesus' ministry. You can look at that in Luke 4:18. But, you know, we're talking today about the anxiety level. We talk today about the high depression level of people that we come in. And it's sometimes it's people that we even know, you know, that you would look at them and you would not realize that they're having a depressed state at the time. But something within them has got a hold of them, and they're walking in this level of some type of a depression. They're not filled with that total joy. They're not filled with the benefits of understanding that, you know, things are better and things will get better. But as I looked at this in Proverbs just this recently about the spirit of a man will sustain him in sickness, but who can bear a broken spirit, that crushed spirit. And so part of that thinking of today is that we sometimes, how sad it is even as Christians, that maybe we get a crushed spirit. Now how does that happen? How do we get a crushed spirit? You can fill in the blank. You might have had a crushed spirit, and you can fill in. Well, this is what crushed me. Maybe it's crushed right now. I don't know. Maybe it's down the road. It's hard to say. But all I know is my God will sustain me. My God and His Spirit, His presence, His strength, whatever it is, will sustain us as we go through these things. So the New King James I just read out of, cast your burden on the Lord, He will sustain you or shall sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved or shaken. The Living, New Living Testament says, give your burdens to the Lord and He will take care of you. He will not permit the godly to slip and fall. Tell you what, it's not fun to slip. It's not fun to fall, is it? Now we're talking here in the spiritual realm. But just think of that in the natural. Have you seen someone that has slipped and fell? You know, in some of my visits with certain times and going to see people that have fallen, I tell you what, sometimes they don't look very pretty, so to speak, because of the bruises that come upon their arms, the bruises on their head, the forehead, whatever the case is. I mean, I've gone and visited people and I thought, what fight were you in? And it was just a matter of slipping and falling. And they got extremely bruised. And it takes time for that bruising in the natural, for that all to break down and to break loose and for it to go away. There's nothing that doctors can do. They'll just tell you, it takes time. Your body will absorb it eventually, you know. So you're going to have that black and blue mark on your leg, your arm, whatever, your head, until the body finally just little by little by little, it absorbs that. There's no quick fix. Well, think of that in the bruising of our spirits. Think of that as people that slip and fall. You know, as the New Living says, that He will not permit the godly to slip and fall. You know, in our spiritual walk, we've got to be watchful of that as well, because the enemy is out there trying to slip us up. He's trying to put things in our path that will befall us, that will take us out of His realm, that will take us away from the things of God. If you've got a person that's on fire for God and he's doing or she's doing tremendous things for Him, you know, there could be something that comes along that person's path that might be there to slow them down or to sidetrack them to something else or whatever the case might be. I think just in our life as general, as we are living out our life as followers of Christ, the enemy will try to put these little things in your way to sidetrack you, to get you to veer just a little bit off of the totality of following who? God. Because if he can get you just a little bit sidetracked, if he can take your eyes for just a quick glance off, he's got part of the battle won. Because a lot of times when we take our eyes off of God for just a short time, we find out that we end up gazing at something else that catches our attention. And before you know it, we've strayed a little bit further than we wanted to from the things of God. And it just happens. It's life and happening and situations that come about. May not be anything serious. It's not saying that he's going to lead you into this path of totality of sin and down and doing this and doing that. It's just whenever we leave that path, the steps of the godly, they're ordered by God. As he has placed us on this path and he's ordered your steps, then we're serving him. Amen. And whatever the enemy can do to veer that off a little bit, he says, ha-ha, you're not totally serving him with everything that you've got. Because we know that if we, what God do you want from me? I want everything, he says. I want your spirit, soul, and body, your strength, your mind, your heart. The Lord wants, God, he wants all of us. We cannot leave out one part of us and really be totally filled or totally sold out or whatever we want to look at to God. And that's a life or a work in progress for each and every one of us every day to keep our mind upon him, amen, to keep our physical direction going the way that he wants us to go, that our heart, our mind, we're renewing our mind, our heart is being, you know, remade, you know, a heart transplant sometimes for some of us. The easy read says, give your worries to the Lord. I know everybody's got worries, you know. I got a burden, it's a worry. If it's a worry, it's a burden. And he will care for you. The New King James says he will sustain you. The New Living says he'll take care of you. The easy read says he will care for you. And it finishes out saying that he will never let those who are good be defeated. We have got to be a strong church. We have got to be a church of followers of God, amen, in his kingdom. And we've got to be what? We've got to be strong. We've got to be victorious. Not we in ourselves, but because he is in us. And he loves us so much that he has put himself in us through that of the Holy Spirit. So that's where my help comes from. Where does my strength come from? Where does my thoughts come from? Where does my direction come from? Who do I want to please? Where can I go? What can I do? What is it, Lord, that I want to honor you and bring glory to who? God. Because even Jesus said, all that I do is to bring honor and glory to God, my Father. And we have to have that same mindset. We've got to have that same thing within us that we are totality in our total being and the things that we're doing is working on that path or staying in that path to bring honor and glory, honor and glory, honor and glory to him. Amen. I want to keep my flesh out of the way. I want to keep what I think out of the way, and I want only his thoughts, amen? And for whatever God has planned for us, me, whatever he has planned for my family or for this church or whatever, it's all for him. And I want to always realize that and be cautious not to get prideful. You know, I tell you what, when you sometimes have low numbers at, you know, a small church, then it's not that hard not to be very prideful. But if you got a church that's got all of a sudden 100 people, 300 people, 500 people, 700 people, 2,000 people, when you begin to see those things develop and grow and build up, you can almost see how easily it would be. Not for everyone. There's a lot of great pastors out there that have those numbers, and I don't sense pride within them. But it probably takes a lot of work. And a lot of understanding that, God, this is your work. This is your hand. And God's hand is moving whether it's in 25 people or 2,500 people. Amen? And so, but to just be cautious, even in our own lives, individually, that we don't get into that prideful state, because sometimes we can do that like, well, look how many people I shared the salvation message with. Wow, I really did good. Or look how many people came to salvation because of what I did. Look what I did over here. Look what I did in this part. Look what I did over there. And we find that pride, PR, big I, D-E. But if we go to the other realm and say, look what God is doing in us. Look what God is doing in me. It's not me, it's him, and I don't understand it. How about you? You know, is God doing things in you that you don't even understand? And people recognize that, and they might mention it to you, but for God be the glory, amen? God be the glory. God get the glory. So we'd already talked about to sustain, to maintain, nourish, provide food, to bear, hold up, protect, support, defend, to supply the means necessary for living. That's what God does. In 55:22, cast your burden on the Lord and he will sustain you and he will never permit the righteous to be moved or shaken. Faith is a conscious choice to act on what God says is true. It's not some passive response of the Christian to his circumstance. It's not kind of like passive and blasé and, oh yeah, it'll be okay and all these type things. Like everything else, faith requires practice for it to grow and to become even stronger. Sometimes, you know, we go forth before God and we say, Lord, I want my faith to be stronger. Well, watch out because there will probably be some things that come along that he's going to say, well, this is what's going to increase your faith. This is what's going to build your faith. And these situations all of a sudden begin to unfold. But realizing that he is God, and I'm going to cast my care upon him, and he will sustain me. Will he sustain you? Amen. Faith comes from God's word, illuminated by the Holy Spirit, and it's released through the acts of obedience. Faith requires a singleness of commitment that draws us from doubt and wavering to the place of peace. How can you have peace? How can you be so reserved? How can you be at rest? How can you be so at ease with this taking place in your life, or with this taking place where you live, or with this taking place in the country that you're a part of, whatever the case might be, but how can you have that peace? No matter what we're going through, we see God is there with us. God wants you to give your burdens to him, but so often we continue to bear them ourselves. Even when we say, oh, yeah, yeah, how many people say, oh, I trust God, oh, yeah, I've got all the things, you know, I've got all the bookmarks, you know, I've got all these passages highlighted in my Bible and all of this stuff that we kind of look at, and those are all good things to have, not to say that they're not. But yet, even some of those that have those passages highlighted and have all these bookmarks, where are they at in faith sometimes? The same strength that will sustain you is also there to care for you as well. So when fear may be at our doorsteps of life, in Psalms 56:3-4, it says, whenever I'm afraid, I will trust in you. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me? That's Psalms 56:3-4. Whenever I'm afraid, anybody ever here been afraid? I have. I will trust in you, God. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear. Oh, Proverbs 18. Okay, we've already been there. Proverbs 18:14. I kind of jumped there already. So we read Proverbs 18:14. I was going to kind of sideline to that. The next area, let's learn to trust the Lord as an act of our will, not a response to our emotions. You know, emotions really gets in there a lot, doesn't it? We kind of let our emotional, you know, have you ever heard somebody say, that person's an emotional basket case? You know, what's that telling you? It's like their emotions are overwhelming, you know? Everything is just in an uproar. Everything is just, whatever is happening is all happening at the same time. Emotionally, they can't slow it down. They can't think through it. They're dealing with all kinds of things, and rightfully so. I'm not saying that we don't have a lot going on in our lives, and that's any one of us at any one time cannot have a lot of things hit us, and emotionally we just get kind of, stressed out, you know, an emotional basket case. But learn to trust the Lord as an act of your will, not a response to our emotions. Let daily practice of praise-filled refusal to fear. Daily practice. You've got to refuse to fear. Amen. You've got to say, I am not going to fear this. In Psalms 56, 10 and 11, it says, in God I will praise his word. In the Lord I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? It kind of sounds similar to what we just read. In 56, 3, 4. He repeats it kind of like in the same statute there of saying, in God I will praise his word, in the Lord I will praise his word, in God I have put my trust, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? You know, a lot of times we get all wrapped up into things of what man can do to you, you know, and sometimes the power we think that man has and man, our woman, you know, as far as they hold a powerful place. But haven't you ever heard sometimes in talks about things like that, like, you know, even though they're this powerful or they do this or they've got this ability, don't they? Here's the thing that always kind of brings it down to a common denominator. But we still put our pants on one leg at a time. Are we still get, you know, it's just that commonality of thought, you know, no matter how powerful that man or that person is, we still operate pretty well the same way. It's just who they are, what the responsibilities are. But let's practice the praise-filled refusal to fear. Don't fear man. Don't fear your situation. Don't fear the circumstances, because I'm going to what? Trust in God, and he's going to see me through it. He says in his word many times throughout places that we could go through about sustaining us and taking care of us. So what, then the last thing here is we can expect God's Spirit to illuminate the scriptures to give us a clear direction or guidance every day. Expecting God's Spirit to illuminate the scriptures. Has anybody ever gone to the Lord and said, Lord, help me. Lord, I'm reading this and I don't quite understand it. I need understanding of it. Could you enlighten me, Lord? Anybody ever ask the Lord to enlighten you about something? Help me, Lord. I need some clarity of this. I need some focus of this, and I just don't see it. In Psalms 43:3, it says, oh, send out your light and your truth. Send out your light and your truth. Psalms 43:3. Let them lead me. What's going to lead me? Your light and your truth. Be led by his light. Be led by his truth. And let them bring me to you, the holy hill, and to your tabernacle, your dwelling place. You start kind of going through this in the morning hours and you're just thinking about things, and then all of a sudden, 1 John 1:5. 1 John 1:5. For this is the message which we gave, or which we have heard from him, and we declare to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Talks about send out your light and your truth. Lead us, Lord. In Psalms 119, 105, we're already in Psalms, so you can kind of look at Psalms 119, 105. It's going to tell us what? Well, that's a lot of numbers there. 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. We can expect God's Spirit to illuminate the scriptures to us, to give us a clear direction and a guidance to our life every day. Psalms 43:3, remember, oh, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to you. He's promised not to leave us in darkness. He's there to light the path that we're on. Here's where I really got to head. Now we kind of looking at David real quick here. In David, Psalms 3 is talking a lot about that. David shares about the Lord's help when trouble comes to his people. There's just a lot of things happening in his life. Those coming against him, those going to overtake him, but the Lord is faithful. But in Psalms 3, you can kind of begin to read a lot of that. The Lord helps his troubled people. And in Psalms 3:1 says, Lord, how they have increased who trouble me. Anybody had any people around you that seems to be increasing, troubling you? Many are they who rise up against me. There's a lot of them. Many are they who say of me, there is no help from him in God. But you, O Lord, you're a shield. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me from his holy hill. I lay down and slept. I woke, for the Lord, what? Sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000 of people, or 10,000s of people, who have set themselves against me all around. 10,000s of people all around. There were people out to get him. And look what he's going through. But before that, he says, I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you have struck all of my enemies on the cheekbone. You have broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing is upon your people. In that area where he says, I slept, loss of sleep because of anxiety from all kinds of pressure is overcome. All of that was on his mind, all of that he was aware of, the tens of thousands of people, they're out after me. But I slept. I lay down and I slept. Have you ever found yourself when you're going through anxiety, when you're ever going through such as pressures of to overcome something, the anxiety, the whatever it could be, the stress, that it's hard to sleep? You know, you try to lay down, and all your mind does, you try to find some quiet time, and you think it's about quiet, and then all of a sudden your mind begins to race. Your mind begins to conjure up, what about this? This is taking place. What about that happens? All these people, all the situation, all these things might be coming upon you, or maybe it's just your mind kind of fabricating some of these things. Sometimes we make a what out of a molehill? Sometimes we make a mountain out of a molehill. You know, we look at it, and the enemy, the devil, is really good at amplifying something that's small to make it look big. Well, we also know God can take things that are small and make great things out of small things. And I think the devil, he copies it, but he doesn't turn these small things into great things. He takes these small things, these small issues, these small problems, and he magnifies those things. And it's on your heart, it's probably in your mind more than anything. And you try to sit, and you try to relax, you try to sleep, you try to lay down. And all that happens is your mind is bombarded. Maybe it's not even trying to sleep. Maybe you're just trying to sit and just take some time out. You know, even you go on a vacation and you can't leave the problems back home, you take them with you. So instead of, you know, being at home, now they're sitting on the beach in Florida. They're sitting on the up at Door County, you know, whatever the case is. They seem to follow you, that stress, that pressure. But if I can know and I understand and I grasp that my Lord will sustain me, he will uphold me, that I can turn those things to him, that I can cast those cares to him, because why? He cares for me. And I think we can be like David, where I lay down and I slept, and the Lord woke me, for the Lord sustained me. So we find that happening today, that you can be sustained. You can get good rest. I think even for ourselves, it's hard for people to find good rest. You know what? Even the few of us that are here today, I imagine there's every one of us at one time or another could say, you know, I've had some difficulty trying to just get some good rest. or I've dozed off or fell asleep early in the evening, or you know, whatever time, 10:30, 11, or whatever, and I have been woken up at 2 o'clock or 2:30, and try to go back to sleep, and all of a sudden your mind goes to something that does what? Keeps you up. It's like, oh my gosh, what? Why does this even happen now? I was sleeping comfortably. When those things happen, it's like you've got to figure out a plan, amen? And those times when those things start happening is you try to reflect upon the things of God, try to think of His Word, maybe begin to pray. Maybe has anybody ever been to the point where it's like, well, if I'm going to be up, I might as well pray. It's a crazy thing. Once you do that, the enemy goes, oh, no, you're not. He lets you go back to sleep. Is it just me? You know, it's a weird thing. But I've been at those levels of times, and I go, well, if I'm going to be up, I'm just gonna lay here, and I'm just, okay, Lord, let's start praying. And I think of people in my life, and I just start lifting them up. I'm sorry, maybe by the time I got to your name, I was asleep already. I don't know. So I don't know if the enemy says, oh, no, I don't want you to pray, or if God's peace comes upon you because you're just praying to Him. And all of a sudden, everything just calms down. It's like, take a deep breath. Take a deep breath. Inhale, exhale. Inhale, exhale. You try to remember those things to calm your, and it even calms your spirit down. Oh, yeah. Let me see, hey, Dean. I'm going to turn my mic off. Could you? Well, anything. I'm going to turn my mic off here. Fine. It's on here. There you go. Testing.
This has something to do with sustenance. When you're struggling with a problem and you don't have the answers, but you need relief. I had a child, my second one. Could not sleep at night, and she would be terribly afraid at night. And the Lord gave me three scriptures, and one of them is this one. I'm going to sit down a minute because I got to open my Bible. God gives us His Word to use to fight with. So if you find something, if anybody's having trouble with sleep at night, these are for you. If you're having trouble with anxiety or anything, you take him at his word and use them. That I lay down and slept and I awoke, for the Lord sustained me was the first one. The second one is in Psalm 4, verse 8, I will both lie down in peace and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. You may not believe it in the beginning, but you take it and use it as a sword against the enemy. And then the third one is in Proverbs. It's in Proverbs. Let me find it here. Chapter 3, verse 24. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down and your sleep will be sweet. And she memorized those verses when she was little. And in no time, she was sleeping soundly at night. So I just felt a need to insert that, because our anxiety level in the world is greater than it was back then. And God still, His promises are true. So take Him at His word. He will sustain you.
Is it working now? Hello, hello. We're back. How true that is. And You know, and you'll find that at times that it's in those quiet times that really some of the anxiety really builds. It's, you know, when you find in life that you're kind of busy throughout the day and you're just doing life in general, that you got to do this task, this, you get to a place of rest at home or whatever, and you're sitting there, and then all of a sudden it feels like the weight of the world just comes in on you. It's like, why in the world? But it's because all of a sudden you're not being busy, you know, and your mind begins to think these things, and I think a lot of these stressful things come upon us. And I think, like I said earlier, it's like the mountain, make a mountain out of a molehill. But I'm going to tell you, if it's your molehill, it's a mountain. You know, you got to be careful as you go through and can't be, you know, callous to say, well, that's not a major problem. Don't be concerned about that. Well, it could be for that person, you know. And so we've got to listen to them, and we've got to be sensitive to that and pray the right prayer so that they are taken care of as well. So, I don't know, I feel like I'm all out of sorts here. And as we wrap this up a little bit here, Philippians 4:6 tells us as well. In Philippians 4:6, it just says this: be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all of your understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. See, when we do that, look at that. Be anxious for nothing, but in all things in prayer and supplications, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, and it's in my understanding, will guard your heart and minds through Christ. Guard that mind. Guard that heart. And I tell you, I believe with a guarded heart and mind, I think there's a lot more times of a lot more rest and peace than the upheaval of worrying and thinking and the anxiety level. I think you had shared a little bit in Psalms 54:4, but it says in Psalms 54:4, behold, God is my helper. The Lord is with those who uphold. The Lord is with those. And so the Lord is with those who uphold or sustain and upholds my life. All kinds of brackets here that I'm trying to read through. Behold, God is my helper. The Lord is with those who uphold my life. Uphold would be to sustain. And then finally, in Hebrews 1:3, Christian Standard Bible says this: the sun, S-O-N, is the radiance or the reflection of God's glory, and the exact expression or the representation or copy or reproduction of his nature, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. And so we look at that God's glory, the exact expression, the sun is the radiant or the reflection of God. Amen. Representation, copy, or reproduction of his nature, sustaining all things by his powerful word. So God will sustain you. Amen. God sustains us by his powerful word and by his presence. Amen. And so I want to encourage you, and I hope it encourages some of us today or all of us, but find things in the word of God that will help you, that will support you, that will strengthen you, that will get your mind off of your circumstance and put your mind on Christ and be able to allow these things to come upon you to where you can take this time to give him honor and glory. You know, if the devil says this, you say that. You know, what does the Lord say about that? You know, if the things are happening in your life and you can't control them anyway, you just give them over to God and say, here they are, Lord. I'm just looking for your outcome, and whatever it is, it's going to be good. And I'm going to just stand on whatever scripture he gives you as you go through the Bible, as you look up through your concordance for a situation, whatever it might be, that you find these things and that you find them to where it helps you and it gives you strength. God wants us to be strong. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Remember, today is the last Sunday, so